Amen. Thank you for that special. I want to invite you this morning to open your Bibles back to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We've been studying through chapter 1 as we're learning about Christ in me. Christ in me. And that is the mystery, the hope of glory, that Jesus Christ is in us. Through faith in Christ, he comes and indwells us through his Spirit. And as we obey him and walk with him day by day, his Spirit is with us. He is with us day by day in our lives. One of the things that we find here, our text this morning is going to come from Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Verses 18 through 23, we'll take our text from there today. And we want to learn about the peace that we have in Jesus Christ. There is no peace in the world. Amen. When we look up peace in the dictionary, the old Webster's dictionary says, in a general sense, it is a state of quiet or tranquility. It's freedom from disturbance or agitation. And it's applicable to society as a whole, to individuals, and just to the temper of your own mind. And we know that there is no peace. We're not at peace in our minds sometimes. We're not at peace with ourselves. We're not at peace sometimes in our families. We're not at peace with society. And certainly we know that it applies to others. It's also defined as freedom from war with a foreign nation, or it's freedom from civil war. Peace defined, really, it's the absence of trouble. It's the absence of war. It's the absence of conflict is what peace is. And what we need to understand is all of the lack of peace in the world, all of the conflict that's in the world, the only remedy for that is Jesus Christ. Amen. We've had presidents for as long as this country's existed that have tried to have peace in our country. They've tried to have peace with other countries, and we've meddled in the Middle East for centuries and tried to help have peace over there. And the reality is there will not be peace on earth until Christ rules on earth. Amen. Rules over the whole earth. We have people trying to find peace in their hearts and minds and their families, and it will simply not come without Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't have peace with God. You can't have peace in your own heart without Jesus. And so I think that this is something that you and I tend to take for granted. The fact that you're at peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ is a much bigger deal than we realize. And the fact that you have peace in your heart, peace in your mind, peace with your family, the fact that that's even possible is something that the world desperately is searching for. Amen. And is unable to find until they come to Christ. So if you're able, let's stand together this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. The Word of God says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Let's pray together. Merciful Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship you today together with our church family, to sing your praises and to open the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would bring peace to the hearts and minds of everyone here. I pray that you would help us to share the love of Christ, the truth of the gospel with everyone we can, so that peace could come into their hearts and lives, that they would be reconciled unto you. And Father, we pray for this world. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the nation of Israel to bring peace to them. And Father, we know that one day you will bring peace. But until that day comes, I pray that you would use us and use your people around this planet to reach others with the gospel one by one, to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that peace could come into every heart. Father, we just thank you for the peace you give us. And Lord, when we are not at peace, when we have disquieted hearts and minds, when the storms of this world are affecting our hearts and minds, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, pour out your grace, and give us peace in our hearts that passes all understanding. Please bless everyone here today, and please help me, for I'm nothing without you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I want to talk to you about this peace that we have in Jesus. And first of all, today, we're going to notice the peace that Jesus provides. The peace that Jesus provides. There are, as I mentioned a moment ago, efforts to have peace. We've had peace accords with different nations. There are peace accords between many nations together. And there are certainly, there is a development of peace that mankind can bring about. For instance, we're not at civil war right now. In the 1860s, we were at civil war, but now there's peace in our country. Now, you might look at it and go, I don't know what you've been looking at, Brother Isaac, because we are not at peace in this country, right? We're not at civil war, but so there is a level of peace, but there's not peace between people in our country. There's not peace. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of anger and animosity. And so although we may not be shooting guns at each other, there's still a lot of violence and a lot of things going on in our country. And so we have peace accords with other nations, but that doesn't mean that there aren't groups that are out there firing rockets into other countries. And so we see that we can develop a certain level of peace, but it's always going to fall short of the peace that Jesus gives. The peace that Jesus gives is beyond. Have any of you ever heard about the Winchester Mansion in San Jose, California? Anybody? A few of you have. Well, Sarah Winchester was the widow of the gun company owner, Winchester Gun Company. And starting in about 1884 until she died in 1922, she had that house under constant construction. If you ever look at it, it's pretty crazy. That house has over 164 different rooms, over 10,000 windows. And she kept it under constant construction during that time period. In today's money, it would be well over $70 million that she spent. $70 million that she spent. What was she doing? Well, she was haunted by the thought of all the people who died at the hands of her husband's guns. And she thought that those ghosts were going to come after her. And she was scared to death of it, to the point that she built in that house. There are stairways that lead to nowhere. There are doors that go to nothing. There are stairways that lead up into the ceiling. And I mean, just to be honest, it's crazy. It's really just crazy. And she's got all this going on because she was afraid and she was looking for peace. And all of the money and all of the construction that she put into it, she never found peace. Listen, people are doing all kinds of stuff today to find peace. People try to find peace in escaping into false worlds. They try to escape into movies and books and video games. People try to find peace in alcohol and drugs and medications. People try to find peace in money or possessions. People try to find peace in immorality. They're searching for something. They're trying to quiet their hearts and minds. They're trying to satisfy something in them, this disquiet that's in them, and they're looking everywhere for it. And I'm just here to tell you today, peace only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the peace that he provides. Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. That fear and that trouble that's in us, Jesus says, listen, you don't have to have that. You can have peace. I'm giving you my peace. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples, those who had believed on him, those who had professed their belief in him through baptism, those who had followed him with their lives. And he said, I'm giving you peace. And just because I'm going away, I'm not taking my peace with me. I'm leaving my peace with you. And dear friend, you can have peace in your heart today. Amen. John 16:33, these things have I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's so many people who come to Christ and they get the idea that if I just get saved and start going to church, if I'll just get in church, then life will get better. All my troubles will go away. And so many people have been deceived by false teaching about that and just a misconception that we have. Listen, following Jesus isn't going to take away the trouble. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but in Jesus, we have peace. So it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We have peace inside. And I am amazed by this. The United States of America, I think, is the most prosperous country that has ever existed on the planet. I think that the United States has more peace, more freedom, more opportunity than any other country on the planet. Anybody, you agree with that? If somebody starts talking about Venezuela right now, I'm going to throw something at you. Denmark, Sweden, I mean, everybody wants to throw these places out there, but I'm telling you, those places do not have the freedom, the liberty, and the prosperity that we have. But did you know that all that freedom, prosperity, and liberty has not helped us with our mental health, with our peace in our hearts? Amen. Do you realize that depression and anxiety and suicide are as high or higher in America than they are in any other developed country in the world? Amen. Now, how does that work? Well, we're free. We ought to have peace. We have liberty. We ought to have peace. We have prosperity, we have opportunity, we have education, we have all these things. Why don't we have peace? We don't have peace in the world, in our country today, because we don't have Jesus. Amen. And even in the church, even among brothers and sisters in Christ, there still lacks peace sometimes. Amen. And I understand that there are issues beyond, we can get into talking about mental health and all of those different things. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about peace in your heart and peace in your mind that can only come through Jesus Christ. No matter what's going on in the world, and you've seen it and I've seen it, where people are going through unimaginable difficulties in their life and that they still maintain peace in their hearts. That's what we're talking about today. Jesus, he's the one that provides peace because he is the peacemaker. Amen. He is the peacemaker. Now, when we look at our text here in verse 20, it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus, having made peace. This phrase, having made peace, it's really one word. And what a beautiful word. Jesus Christ is the one who makes peace. Having made peace, I want you to notice the tense of that. Having, the ing ending means it's a continual action. Made is in the past tense. And what is it saying? It's something that Jesus did in the past that has a continual effect on your life. He died on the cross and he gives you peace, but that peace continues with you forever. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Having made. It's a continuing action that comes through faith in what Jesus did. That's who he is. Isaiah 9:6, the promise was given. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. See, I think sometimes we take it for granted, the peace that we have. Friends, this is an incredible truth, that Jesus Christ is the peacemaker. But peace always comes with a price. Just like freedom, peace always comes with a price. How is it having made peace? Through the blood of his cross. Amen. You remember Isaiah 53? Incredible passage of scripture prophesying what Messiah would come and do for our sins. And in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Jesus didn't go to the cross for his sin. He didn't have any sin. It wasn't for his transgressions. He didn't transgress against the law. It wasn't for his iniquity. He never did anything wrong. He never sinned. And he had peace with God. But he was willing to take chastisement. He was willing to be bruised. He was willing to be wounded so that you and I could be made at peace with God. The price of our peace is the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Amen. Friend, we ought not take it for granted. Amen. We ought to be thankful today. We ought to remember every morning when we wake up. If you're born again, you ought to wake up and the first thought in your mind ought to be, thank you, God, for saving my soul. And you ought to remember what Jesus Christ did for you. You ought to remember the cross of Calvary. You remember the blood that was shed so that you could be made right with God. We have peace in our hearts today because Jesus Christ died on the cross. Not only do we have peace in our hearts, but we have peace with God. Notice the purpose of it. In verse 20, he says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. The purpose is reconciliation. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. He says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What is it that happened? Jesus shed his blood on the cross, so that by him he would reconcile all things unto himself. By the way, you put 2 Corinthians 5 and you put Colossians 1 together, it's just another statement of the deity of Jesus Christ. His blood reconciled all things unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5 says that God reconciled all things to himself by Jesus Christ. We're made right with God by Jesus, who is God, unto himself God. Amen. Are you with me? Okay. If you're not, just nod your head, lie to me. Just nod your head, pretend like you see what I'm saying. Okay. Just say amen and he'll go on. Yeah, there you go. So we see that Jesus Christ is God, that he shed his blood to reconcile us, to make us right. What does it mean? It means we were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God. We were at war with God. We weren't on the right side. We weren't all God's children. We were the children of our father, the devil. We were against God and not part of his kingdom. And we were outside. We were aliens and strangers and enemies of God. But when Jesus died for us, he made a way for us to be reconciled. And when you come to God by faith in Jesus, you're made right with God. You're reconciled to God. You're not an enemy anymore. You're made at peace with God. Amen. What an incredible thought. Amen. Listen, just imagine for a second that America is at war with, I don't know, like ISIS or something. You realize that we were enemies of God just as bad as any terrorist on the planet today is an enemy of the United States? Amen. Like, we were against God. We were the bad guys. But God says, listen, I'm going to pay so that you can come over here and be on my team. Amen. What an incredible thought. We were enemy combatants, and he brings us into his kingdom and makes us soldiers for him. What a loving God we serve. Amen. That he changes our hearts, our minds, our position, and his purpose is reconciliation. He has made us reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the cross. That's the purpose of the blood, to make us right with God, to reconcile us, to make us be at peace with God. And by the way, if you have peace, it's your job to help others have peace with God. Amen. He's made us ministers of reconciliation. He's called us to be ambassadors for Christ. It's our job, our purpose, our calling to take the gospel to others so that they could be made right with God too. So that they can be reconciled to God. Hey, are you with me this morning? Amen. It's our job to take the gospel to other people who are the children of the devil, who are on their way to hell, who are the enemies of Jesus Christ, who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our job to take the gospel to them so that they can repent and believe the gospel and be saved and have peace with God like we have. Amen. That's what he's called us to do. That's what he's empowered us to do. That's what we ought to be doing. And he gives And he gives this purpose for us. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Be reconciled to God and reconcile others to God. He's the peacemaker. He paid the price. He had the purpose of reconciling us, and he has the incredible power. I want you to notice the power of his peace, because in verse 20 he says, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Jesus Christ, the power of his blood is not just to reconcile some things to himself, but all things to himself. That's the power of the blood. You know, you gotta meet people where they're at, right? Amen. I mean, some people don't know anything about God. They've never heard about God. Some people have heard about Jesus their whole life, and you just kind of got to meet people where they are. But I got to tell you, I get kind of tired sometimes of people who don't have any concept, that they don't understand this, that they can't sin in a way that's too much for Jesus to forgive them. Like, so many people have that attitude. You don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know how bad I've been. God could never forgive somebody like me. Friends, that's nonsense. That's an assault and an affront to the pureness and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no sin that you could commit that's greater than the blood of Jesus. His blood has power to reconcile all things unto himself. Nothing greater, nothing more powerful than the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the peace that Jesus provides, and that is the peace that we need. It's the peace that we need. He says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You have been reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Notice where we were. He says that we're sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. I don't think that we need to dwell on our past. You know, the Apostle Paul talks in Philippians about forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I don't think we need to dwell on it, but I also don't think that we need to forget completely either. Amen. Here's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes your mind gets to thinking about the past and it hinders you, it holds you back. Sometimes you just remember where you were without Christ and it causes you to be grateful for where you are in Christ. Amen. You with me? Amen. And so I want you to look at this in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 11. And you can look at it on the screen or look in your Bible, but we're going to read several verses here and I really want you to get this. I don't have time to break it all down, so I need you to pay attention to the scripture, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. He says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. What's he saying? You were a Gentile, you weren't a Jew. The Jews were the circumcision. You were those that were outside of that, the uncircumcision. Everybody with me? Okay. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where you and I were without Jesus Christ. No promises, no hope, no God, no Jesus Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. We were far away from God. Listen to me. I don't care if you sat in a pew in a church just like this. If you were not saved, you were far from God. Amen. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're brought nigh, you're brought near, you're brought to the very throne of God. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. For verse 14, he is our peace. For he is our peace. Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you by which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Well, you just get the context. There's this difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. And in the early church, it was a big deal. And there are always those trying to bring Judaism, trying to bring the old law back onto the Gentiles. And there was always this debate going on. But listen to me. The point of all this is this. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your nationality or your background is. Jesus Christ died to save everybody. Amen. Jews and everybody else alike. Everybody comes to God the same way, through the body of the flesh of Jesus, through his shed blood. He brings us all together, makes us one in Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is in us, and we are in him, and there's peace and unity and reconciliation because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Where we were was aliens and enemies in our mind by wicked works. Where we were was without Christ, without hope, without God, without anything, but where we can be, back in our text, in verse 21, we read, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Verse 22 says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You guys ever heard a message about the last judgment? When you come before the Lord, you think about the parable of the talents, where the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Would you like to hear that? Would you like God to be pleased with you when you come before his throne? I mean, you certainly don't want to be, what, one of them brought 10 talents. You gave me one, I got 10. The Lord was well pleased. One of them got one and he got five. The Lord was still well pleased. The only one he wasn't happy with was the one who got one and saved one. He did nothing. And the Lord says, cast out the unprofitable servant. Cast him out. So what do we see here? We want to be faithful to God. We want him to be well pleased. We're saved by faith in Christ, not by works, but we want to live like we're saved. Right? Do you ever feel like there's no way? Like, I just want to get in. I don't think God's going to say, well done. I just want to be there. Anybody ever feel like that? Like, I don't see how God's going to say, well done to me. I know what I've done. I know what I've not done. And I don't think he's going to say, well done. I just want to get in. Anybody feel like that? Because I do. I feel that way all the time. Like, there's no way God, Jesus Christ, is going to look at me and judge me according to what I've done, whether it be good or bad, and say, hey, good job. I just don't feel like that. But guess what? It's exactly what can happen. It's exactly what should happen. We should be presented before him holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Why? Because that's what he does in us. He's made peace with himself through his blood. We can be right with God now and forever because of what Christ has done for us. Amen? Holy. The Word of God calls us to be holy. Old Testament and New. Be holy, as I am holy. That's a high calling. Amen. That's something that we can't possibly do in the flesh. That can only be done through the work of the Spirit of God. Separated from the world, pure from the things of the world. Be holy. Unblameable. Unblameable. This is the idea of not having anything that would stick. This is if somebody in town makes an accusation against you, nobody believes it. Because you have a good character. The idea is not having handles where there's something where somebody could grab you and pull you down. That you have a good character, you have a good moral standing and unreprovable. That you're living in a way that there's something that there's no need for correction, that you're being obedient. Are your kids ever good? I'll give you a minute to think about it. Brother Randy, did you ever have a day when Brandon was good, you didn't have to get on to him? He said when he was asleep, if you didn't hear that. I got an idea that there were some days that Brandon and Talisa both probably got in trouble, but I bet there were some days that they were good, and had to straighten them out. I don't know about your kids, but my kids have to have the reset button hit every once in a while. Reset button. They do good for a while, but then they start to slide back, and sometimes you just got to reset them. And it works. I think they all got the reset button in the same place. But man, those good days are good. When my kids aren't acting right, I plead with them. Please, please be good. I don't want to have to spank you. I don't want your mama to kill you. Please. Isn't it better when you just are good? Isn't it better when you just do what you're supposed to do? And there are those days that they're good. They do what they're supposed to do. They don't have to be corrected. I kind of think that's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't think that's in them. It's in the Lord. Where we can be. Paul's desire for the church then and God's desire for us now is that we would be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. How does it happen? Well, we have to live in peace, the peace we live in. God has given us peace with him, but we've got to walk in that peace. We've said it so many times. We're saved. We have to live like we're saved. We're going to face the judgment one day. God's going to judge us. We can read about those things, the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge us. He's going to judge us, all the things that we've done in the flesh, whether it's good or bad. He's going to deal with that. He talks about the foundation being laid, but then we build on it with either wood, hay, and stubble, or we build with precious stones, gold and silver. And he's going to try us like as by fire. And only the things that we've done in Christ, in faith, are going to last. But we can live every day building the way he wants us to build. How do we do that? Well, we have to continue. Verse 23 says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, I want to be clear. If you don't live a perfect life, if you don't live an unblameable and unreprovable life, listen, the only way we get to heaven is by faith in Jesus Christ. What we're talking about right now is the standing we're going to have before God. How we've built, how we've lived after we're saved is going to have a difference when we stand before the Lord in judgment. We want to be found faithful. We want to be found obedient. So how do we do that? First of all, we have to continue. We do it by continuing. How are we disciples indeed? Jesus says, if you continue in my word, Then are you my disciples indeed? We have to continue in the things that we've been given. It's all through the New Testament. Trust in Jesus and then continue. Stay in the Word. Stay faithful. Stay in prayer. Keep walking with Jesus. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close with thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. Continue walking with Jesus day by day. There's more to this Christian life than showing up at church. This isn't it. This is important. Assembling together is important. Listening, preaching is important. Doing all those things is important. But your Christian life is not lived by sitting in this pew. It's everything we do every moment of every day. This is part of it, but it's everything else too. And we've got to walk with the Lord, continually walking with him in faith and in his word. And then confident. Notice that he says, if you continue in the faith, in the faith. Faith is the Latin word is, it comes from fide. And so we have this word confident, with faith, confide, with faith. How do we continue? Well, we continue in faith. So we continue by believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus. When things get hard, we just believe, we trust in him. But more than that, it's not just the faith, the belief, but it's that system of beliefs. It's the system of doctrine. We continue in the truth. Believing the word of God. We ought to have faith in this Bible. We ought to believe what it says, and our beliefs will determine our behaviors. If we really believe what the Bible says, it'll change the way we live day by day. So we're continuing, but we're continuing confidence in him and in his word, and then we continue confident and with a concrete resolution. He says, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. All of these words, grounded, settled, and not moved away. It all has that same idea. You need to be grounded. You need to be set and secure in your belief in the Word of God, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to be settled on it, not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. You don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. You believed in Jesus in the beginning. Don't get moved away to salvation by works or any other nonsense. Just stay right here in the gospel. Grounded and settled, and don't be moved away. Amen. Some of you ought to love this preaching right here. Because I know it's early. Some of you didn't get enough coffee, but stay with me for a second. Some of y'all ought to love this. I'm asking you to be stubborn. I don't ever ask you to be stubborn. I'm trying to tell you not to be stubborn, right? Like, come on now, bend a little, be flexible a little, right? Let's let go of some of our preferences. Let's not hold on to our traditions. Let's be willing to change. We don't change the message. We don't change the truth, but sometimes we have to change. I'm always asking to change. Right now, I'm asking you to never change. There are a lot of things we can change, but the gospel isn't one of them. Amen. Where we stand in Christ isn't one of them. The truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the truth that it's by faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen. The fact that it's never of any amount of works, no mixture of works whatsoever. Amen. It's only by his grace, only through faith. Don't be moved away from that. Be grounded, be settled. Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Not just the gospel itself, but the hope of the gospel. I'm asking you to have a concrete resolution that you're going to get to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ, that your hope is in him, and nothing is going to take that hope away from you. Amen. The storms of this life, they assail you, and the waves are going to beat vehemently on the house, but your house won't fall because it's founded on the rock. You have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. I have no idea how I'm going to handle this situation, but I know this, when I die, I'll be in heaven with God forever. Don't be moved away from that hope. Whether it's your finances or your health or your family, because we all got crazy family. Brother Tom, I only want to amen that real loud. A lot of y'all could amen that really, really loud. It doesn't matter whether it's your health or your crazy family, your finances, or whatever other storms may come in this life. I'm telling you, don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Be absolute, be concrete. Do you guys know that from the moment you pour concrete, it gets harder from then on? Some of you know it because you've tried to bust up concrete that's 30 years old.
Amen.
Right? You guys know I've worked in construction some, and every once in a while somebody makes a mistake and you have to bust out some concrete. That's never fun. But it's a lot better when you just poured the concrete a week or two ago than it is when you're remodeling a house and that concrete's been sitting there for 30 or 40 or 50 years. It's a whole different animal. Why? Because it gets harder. You know what? Our resolution about the gospel and our hope in the gospel, it ought to get stronger with time.
Amen. Amen.
The more you grow, the more you understand the truth of the gospel, it ought to just be more and more and more and more and more and more sure. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace. The God of peace. It pleased him to bruise Jesus for our sins, but he also brought him again from the dead. Through his blood, we can be made perfect in every good work to do his will. It's him working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. What I'm trying to tell you this morning, friends, is that you can be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, but we have to continue. We have to have continuance in confidence, in faith, and we have to be concrete in our in the gospel and settled in the hope of the gospel, and we can be found faithful. It's only by his grace that we're saved. It's only by his grace that we live, and he alone is worthy of the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Let's stand together this morning, and we're going to have a verse of invitation. The Holy Spirit of God's convicting your heart. You've got some burdens in your life. You don't have peace in your heart and mind today. That peace is available. If you do have peace with God, then you have an obligation to reach others with that peace, to be bold in your witness for Jesus Christ. And all of us need to look to him every moment of every day for peace. It's only through him. If there's anything in your heart or mind that you need to get right with Jesus today, I plead with you. I plead with you to trust in him today, to live for him today, to make commitments to him today. Whatever he's convicted your heart about today, you come right now while we sing.